Well, I believe that we have to have a secure border, and I think that we are trying to address, the president has a plan to address that.
Our adversaries are going to be testing the United States of America after this debacle. Russia in the Baltics, China in Taiwan.
Wow! Wow! You think North Korea is South Korea? So I guess all Asian countries look the same to you, huh? Madam Vice President?
Are you?
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull, Brett Witterbull Show. This is the Friday Hangover Edition, the Hurricane Edition. And that's why I was begging and pleading with young Pete Callender to...
I sound much younger, apparently, on the air.
To stay in the studio with me as we did a Friday Hangover here. I mean, this was like a really big, momentous week. Like, if you think about it, like, all we had last week was the funeral for the Queen.
Yeah.
And then, like, this week has been huge. I mean, it's been massive. We've had this hurricane. Feels like this hurricane's been in effect for, like, 10 days.
Yeah. The president saw dead people.
The president saw dead people, yes. That's
right?
A very good point.
Very big news.
Big news week.
Yeah.
Big news week. And, you know, one of the things that I think is so interesting watching this, how much are you consuming on the weather channels, like the varying weather channels that they have on the cable systems, and how much of this are you consuming on the traditional TV? We're actually obviously consuming a lot on WBT and our friends at the Weather Channel, but... how are you kind of getting your information looking at this hurricane so far?
Weather Channel.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, I'm a C-SPAN guy too.
Oh, I like C-SPAN.
Right?
I'm
yeah.
a C-SPAN.
I kind of figured you might be.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want the anchors mm-hmm. telling me what to think about what I'm watching.
Very good.
Right? So
mm-hmm.
I just give me the straight feed right into the veins. That's all I need. And so same thing with the Weather Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Just show me the, I want
mm-hmm.
to see the pictures. I mean, yes, I understand you got to, like, do the, you know, I'm out in the storm, look at me standing up against this 70-mile-an-hour wind, so, like,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
But generally what I do, National Weather Service, I'm on their website, I'm pulling, because, I mean, I used to be in the newsroom, so I pull the weather alerts, and I just
That's
read
good.
Through the weather alerts.
That's good. So you're aggregating a lot of your own information. I'm kind of doing the same thing. I have sprinkled in liberal amounts of the Fox Weather Channel, which actually is quite fascinating to look at the way they do that. And so what I think is interesting is there does seem to be a battle, Pete, between climate change, no climate change talk, right? And the minute I hear climate change talk start to happen, I bail on whatever the channel is, because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, now I believe in separation of science and state. I believe in separation of science and paganism.
Right.
So I don't want to hear your green conspiracies. I want to know, like, is Charleston still there? What's falling off the Francis Marion Hotel? Like, I want to know all that kind of stuff like that. And so I've been spending a lot of time studying these channels. And I have to say, it feels to me like this new generation of these weather reporters, because they're younger now, they're on the game, man. They're on the game. They're not. It really is the older Chad Myers on CNN and those people that push the climate nonsense. The Bill, who is it? Bill, not Bill Tuckman. Who's the guy on CNN that used to be a sports reporter that is now Mr. Climate 24/7? Everything is climate. His donut was soggy. It's climate change. And so I'm enjoying very much not paying attention to the political
right
spin on the storm act.
Right. No. And I think. I talk about this a lot, and I think it's in the same genre, which is
mm-hmm.
it's speculative,
yes.
right? The climate change, Gaia Earth stuff,
yes.
is speculative just by its very nature.
Correct.
And so I don't care about the speculation.
Right.
This is the same thing with election coverage and
mm-hmm.
people that are telling me so-and-so's got a better position to win, and this might happen, and that might happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you don't know that.
That's
I
right.
don't know that.
That's right.
But I've said this also. I was accused a long time ago when I was a reporter of being a news Nazi. Because
a news Nazi
by my boss, right?
Wow,
it was a term of affection, but it was that I just, like, this is what happened.
Yes.
And that's it.
So you just want the facts. You are
right. Like,
you're Jack Webb.
Right. This is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This person said this. This person said that. And it's interesting. There's always this, and you encounter it too, I know, where you do a story, you do a topic, and you'll get somebody who writes in angry.
Yes.
They're like, why didn't you say this?
Yes.
You know, they're obviously saying something wrong, and you need to do that. And I always wonder, like, well, wait a minute. You detected the lie.
Bingo.
You were able to figure out that this person wasn't telling the truth or making a stupid statement. You figured it out. What, you need me to go and tell everybody what to think?
Correct.
I don't need to do that. I assume everybody came to the same conclusion that you did.
So you're not putting on... You're not putting on the fisherman's yellow jacket slicker hat and standing on the corner with a microphone with the crackling of the rain hitting your suit to prove that you're actually out there in the hurricane.
I think it actually it undermines credibility for people to be standing out in the storm while telling people things are really dangerous. Because if things are really dangerous, then you need to get your ass home.
Okay, so is that the same for, like, Ukraine? Is that the same thing for wartime correspondents? Look, that guy got shot. I'm standing out here telling you how this guy got shot. I'm Geraldo Rivera drawing the map in the sand before we invade. I mean, is that...
There's value in the war correspondence because you're in a war zone, and otherwise you're not going to get information except through these government filters and stuff. So I think that's vital.
Right.
The live shot from the parking lot where something happened 12 hours ago, but I have to stand out here just because it looks like...
That's right.
That's stupid.
Not even a chalk outline.
Right. Yeah. There's no reason for you to be live from this scene where something happened hours prior just to say that you're live on that scene.
Yep.
That's all contrived.
And the fact of the matter is, I'm going to be a radio supremacist here for a second, okay?
Oh, my God.
It's way harder to convey descriptives. It's way harder to convey circumstances when you only have the power of word or actuality than when you've got full-blown video. Like, to describe what we're seeing outside right now, obviously it's raining fairly heavily. It is windy out there. It indicates that there is a storm outside.
Right.
But we don't have to go stand on the deck and get all lit up in that regard.
Right.
And I think as a result, the people who are working with the video mediums primarily feel like they have to get out there and stand under the rickety, blowing traffic light that could come down at any second.
Right. I don't need to. The picture's worth 1,000 words. And you got moving pictures. I don't need you to tell me what I'm looking at, right? Unless it's indecipherable. Unless there's, like, you're showing me something that is confusing and you can't really make it out because it's distorted. But otherwise, just you take a couple steps off to the side.
That's
get
right.
out of the frame.
Correct.
Let me see what it is. And you
That's
can
right.
tell me whatever you want to tell me. I don't
That's
need
right.
to see you.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually blocking the vision
Amen.
Of the thing that is newsworthy.
Why are we not? Why are we only using drones in good weather? I can put a
can
drone
they fly?
Up out there right
can
now.
They?
I think I imagine they could. Is there
a
lift?
Are you a drone guy?
Do airplanes? No, but I mean, why are we putting ourselves at risk and not flying the drones into the storm coverage?
Right. Well,
let's see what that's like.
And one of the ironies is, like, they make you when you go out and cover bad events and stuff.
Yes.
You got to get all dressed up in this security gear, like the reflective vests and all this stuff. And I always thought to myself, like, you got to sign the waivers of liability and all
that's
this.
Right. That's
why
right.
are you sending me out? Like, if you recognize this is inherently
Correct.
Dangerous,
that's right.
why send me? Why not just...
For the ratings, Pete.
Right. And that's the
For
thing,
For the
too.
Numbers.
Is it really a ratings thing at
it's
this point?
It's not a ratings thing.
It's so old
it's
and
not
done,
a
it's old hat.
Because what happens then is people look at the ratings after the storms, and they go, that was storm week.
Right.
And we're going to... We know you were a great reporter, but that was storm week. You don't get any credit for that.
You don't get any credit. Right. Yeah.
Pete Callender, always good to experience the Friday hangover together.
I'm going out into the storm now.
Okay, you're gonna report
I will give
back?
You live reports
please.
At every intersection on my way home.
Oh, no, please don't do that. Don't do that. Pete Callender, I appreciate you being there,
All
buddy.
Right, thank you.
All right, you got it. That's Pete Callender. I'm Brett Winter. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Hey, big news! Big news for you to plan your activities around. Fall is here. It's time for WBT's Talktoberfest 2022. Join us every Thursday night in Talktober for a live interactive conversation with WBT team members of our Facebook live feed. We'll be talking about the news of the day, the station's century of broadcasting, and answer just about any question you may have. Grab a pint of, well, whatever you want, and join us at 8 o'clock every Thursday night for Talktoberfest 2022. That's right. Presented by Kristen Bernard Empower Home Team, Keller Williams, South Park. Visit WBT.com for details. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? How about that? 704-570-1110 is the phone number to be a part of the conversation. Let me grab this call from Shane first up. Hey, Shane, welcome to the program.
Hey, man. Love you.
Appreciate you.
You were talking about the reporter standing out in the weather.
Yes.
Another thing that they do that drives me crazy is they have these constant reaction shots. I don't care what the news reporter thought of what the person just said. Mm. I don't care. Mm. I want my reaction, and I don't care about your reaction.
Yeah, you know, this is it, right? And let me ask you a question. Have you been watching a whole lot of the hurricane coverage? I mean, is it you've been kind of caught?
I don't watch TV at all, Brett.
Look at
listen
this.
To you.
Listen.
I have Netflix, maybe, and actually, I cut that off. I just have some YouTube I watch.
All right. I appreciate that. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're still listening to us, Shane. You're great for checking in with us today, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I see that, you know, these news guys, and they got 4 pounds of makeup on.
Yes.
They look, you know, they have these facial contortions that
right.
let us know this is how you're supposed to feel That's about right. what the interviewee just said. I don't need that dictated to me. And now they've got these YouTube videos. It's nothing but reaction. Why in God's name do I want to sit and watch someone else react to something that they're – what's going on?
By the way, as a good example of what you're talking about here, I'm looking – CNN's got a feed up right now that says, breaking news, the Hurricane Ian, a Category 1, makes landfall. Okay, that has been the news for the entirety of the week. I mean, we right. have known the entirety of the week that this was coming. It is not. They need to redefine what the breaking news is.
Okay? What is news?
Well, what is breaking news? I mean, breaking news is you know, somebody who
you
got kidnapped. Somebody was just found who got kidnapped 3 days ago. You know, like, that's breaking news. But breaking news is not last night they won, XYZ won the big game.
Right.
We all
right,
know that.
Right.
We saw it on our phone. Don't tease it like nobody heard that Ron DeSantis put migrants up to Martha's Vineyard. You know, shocking new details in the Martha's Vineyard thing. We don't need that. I mean, these are lazy. Most of these reporters and anchors on TV are lazy. They you have producers looking for stuff that they can put up that'll shock you. It's the old cliche that you always hear. Coming up at 11, the lurking danger in your bed. But they don't want to tell the people at 6 o'clock what the lurking danger in the bed is. I mean,
let me tell you, back in the 80s, WSOC teased like that, and it literally, my hand to God, they said, poisonous cloud over Charlotte, news at 11.
You see, this is no good. We can't do that. I need to know where that poisonous cloud is coming from.
I'm not kidding.
I mean, I need to know the thing that can kill you before dinner, okay? I can't wait. What am I doing?
Go around, tune in.
Yeah, you can't do that. And that's the problem. See, and look, so here's the thing. If you are a consumer of news, right, whether you're watching YouTube or TV or whatever, and then
right.
you come over to WBT Radio, where we do talk radio, what you get to do is you get to be Shane, and you get to call in, and you get to say, hey, what
right.
was that thing with the poisonous gas cloud? And then the radio people are all like, oh, yeah, that's over at the thing and the thing. You know, that's what it is. The dangerous thing lurking under the dangerous thing lurking in your bed, your wife's boyfriend. I mean, that is, you got to be very careful with yourself here.
I thought he was under the bed.
No, well, you know, at that poisonous cloud drove him inside. You know, he was lurking in the bushes. And so there is no poisonous cloud. This is all just merely an example of some of the crazy, wacky stuff that can happen in the world of communications. So I appreciate you being out there, Shane. Stay dry out
Thanks,
there.
Brett.
You got it, man. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You know, when we put the show together, I look at a bunch of stories. We all kind of know generally what the big story of the day is. Like, today's the hurricane. Last week it was the Queen's funeral. In between, it was Martha's Vineyard. It was a Mar-a-Lago hearings. It was all that kind of stuff. You can basically kind of understand what the news of a given period of time is, right? What's moving out there. But the question is, like, how do you determine, like, what it means to you? Is it relevant to you? I can go through a whole bunch of stack of stories, and I'd put them all in the pile, and none of them are relevant to you. You know, they could be completely irrelevant in total, and you're going to listen to me do it, and you're not going to want to call the show, and you're not going to want to talk about it because you're kind of like, really? The government is incompetent with this thing that they did? Wow, knock me over with a feather. That's incredible. But there are certain things that then you want to talk about that are substantive and hugely important at the same time. Like, for example, yesterday, I'll give you a good example. If you were listening to me and Matt Doherty together on the show yesterday, we got into a very long conversation and discussion about the fitness of young people and they can't make the cut to join the military, all that sort of stuff. Now, you could have been calling and saying, well, why aren't you talking about the hurricane? Well, we all know the hurricane's going on, but we also have other things that we can talk about that are kind of interesting. And what tends to happen, and I can say this by way of a quick example, living out on the West Coast or living in West Texas or living in New York, and there's some sort of a crisis that takes place in Florida, say a hurricane, right? I don't know if you ever notice this, but if you're ever living someplace where the crisis is not, and then you watch wall-to-wall coverage of the crisis, whatever the crisis is, you start to psychologically think you are there. So, like, I would leave my house, step outside, and it would be blue skies and 70. And I'd be like, wow, I thought somehow the hurricane would be out here. Well, no, it's 2,000 miles over there, or it's a glacier coming down a mountain 1,000 miles up north in Canada. And so you start to then identify with the very thing you're curious about, but it then becomes part of your life. It's important to live your life. It's important to understand that this storm is coming through. It's going to pass. It's going to move on down the road. But those folks down in Southwest Florida, they got a big rebuilding project ahead of them. And we should be praying for them and supporting the appropriate charities that are going to help them rebuild. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. I'm going to go back to the phones here in just a quick second, I promise. I'm not going to make you hang on forever because I do know that we've got people driving around in this weather and I want to be respectful of your time. You knew this was coming. Looting. They're looting in South Florida. People are having their things looted in South Florida. I can think of, I think, almost no crime deserving more of a 25 or 30 year prison sentence than people who loot after natural disasters. Hurricanes, it can be a hurricane, it can be anything like a hurricane, you know, massive fires, mudslides, you name it. Looting and other crimes amid former Hurricane Ian drive officials to enforce a curfew. This is Yahoo News. Officials from Lee County, where Ian made the landfall as a Category 4 hurricane, announced a curfew on Wednesday. It was noted during the press conferences that people are going into other people's property and stealing their stuff. It is the maximum amount of depravity, as far as I'm concerned, in this regard. And I think it's high time that we make examples of these people who get caught doing these sorts of things. I mean, it is, it is beyond vile. 704-570-1110. I'm going to grab some calls here. Let me talk to Nancy first up. Nancy, welcome to the program. Nancy?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
Hi, what's on your mind today?
Well, I was just wondering what is the status of all the illegal immigrants that were flooding into Florida. Were they evacuated? What happened? I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, there are a substantial number of people who are there in the state of Florida. I've seen no reporting about specific migrant caravans heading out of the state of Florida. So I would assume that if they're down in Southwest Florida, they would have either had the opportunity to depart or they would have been victims of the hurricane as everybody else. So it's certainly something we'll keep an eye on. Andy is up next. Andy, welcome to the program. Yes, sir.
Hey, just want to say I love your show.
Thank you, Andy.
And I'm in no way, shape, or form want to downplay what's going on with the weather.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember living in Myrtle Beach in the late 90s, and Dan Rather came down and he broadcast the CBS News from Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
And he came on, he was talking about the big waves and the big winds and all this stuff. And I was watching it on TV, and I looked outside, and I'm thinking, where is this guy at? Like, I'm here in Myrtle Beach, a mile from the ocean.
Right.
I don't see what he's talking about. And the hurricane ended up moving up and hit Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to aggrandize all that. And it made me think about, like, scary world hypothesis, which I learned in a communications class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people that, you know, when you watch TV all the time, you think the whole world's like that. And I live in Shelby right now.
Uh-huh.
And you wouldn't have any idea how many people will say, I won't go to downtown Charlotte because everybody's getting shot. And I lived there for 20 years in Charlotte. And, you know, I have to tell them there's a million people in Mecca County. And your odds are pretty good. You know, it's just crazy what you see on TV. And you know that that's not reality.
Well, it's interesting that you say that and you bring that up, because just on the TV, on the media component, right? What was the phrase you said that you learned in the mass media class there?
Scary world hypothesis.
Scary world hypothesis.
People that watch TV all the time, they think
sure.
The whole world's like that.
Right, that's true, and that's sort of a cousin to what I was talking about with if you just watch hurricane coverage. If you're living in Des Moines, you're going to get
right.
Stressed out thinking, oh my God, I've got a hurricane outside, and you don't. You've just got Des Moines outside.
And I do not want to diminish.
I know you're not. No. Nobody is.
People
nobody
don't
is.
Realize it looks really big. But when you live on the coast, you realize the hurricane force winds are only 30 miles on each side of the wall.
Right, right.
And that's where they go to show all the damage,
mm-hmm.
but the whole state does not.
Ah, that's important.
That kind of damage.
That's important, because here's what happens. See, the way people consume media evolves just like anything else, okay? You have a, I'm assuming you have a smartphone or you have a computer, and you're able to go look on Twitter at whatever is breaking news, or you go on, you know, a variety of websites to get your information. I'm hoping one of them is WBT. But you go to these places and you look at these things, and what I then tend to do, and I think what many people do, is, okay, I'm going to come in here at 3 o'clock. Bo and Beth talked about some element of a story at 8 o'clock in the morning. Vince talked about it at 10 o'clock, and Pete talked about it at noon. We talk about the evolution of these stories. The presumption is that people have been brought up to speed. There is a hurricane outside. Where is it? And when is it going to wrap up? You know, we try to get that information out there and do things like that. The leading and bleeding.
If it bleeds, it leads. I used to work for the Charlotte Observer.
Right. And here's the thing to remember about that. That was true when WSVN down in Miami was pioneering that technique back in the 80s and the 90s. But media and the consumption of media has also evolved over time. So
a 24-hour cycle.
Exactly. And that's the thing. What people want more than anything.
Up with junk.
Well, what people want more than anything, what they crave, is context. Okay, so Kamala Harris said something boneheaded over in Korea yesterday. What is the implication? Has China moved troops? Has North Korea gotten aggressive? What does this really mean to my life? Is Brett Favre going to go to jail? Aaron Judge, is he going to continue his home runs hitting ways? All those sorts of things, because it's a moving target. It's a moving component. I appreciate you being out there, Andy. You're a great caller, and please call me again. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. All right, so let me share some interesting little thoughts with you here as we dive into some of the other news that's happening beyond the storm. And certainly we want to get your thoughts. If you've got experiences you want to share with this audience, we certainly want to hear it. If you have something that's gone well, something that's not going well, we'd like to know about that. As it relates to the storm, I mean, if you're kind of having a bad day, There's not a lot we can do to kind of fix that. But if you want to report in on something with, you know, with the storms and damage or no damage or whatever, we certainly do want to get your thoughts on all these issues that are out there. And the issues that are out there are, you know, not limited to just today, right? Because this is Friday and we kind of look back today. And, you know, it's an important thing to think about. Looking back to January 6th, though, I think this is very interesting. Mark Penn, who is a Democrat pollster, put up a piece that I think is very interesting entitled January 6th and Justice Department Overreach. The public rejects both. Now, remember, you've had an administration that has been desperate to push as part of the narrative a conversation involving January 6th. Remember, they were going to do a January 6th hearing just a couple of days ago, and they ended up not being able to do that because of the hurricane. They canceled it as a result of the hurricane. But here's the thing that it's important to understand about the January 6th hearing. It is a partisan affair. It is a partisan affair. It is something that is being used by a particular political party to try to advance their aims. And that's just how it is. I mean, everything in Washington is partisan. Everything is partisan. So Mark Penn writing this: the public believes that former President Donald Trump bears significant and perhaps criminal responsibility for what happened at the Capitol on January 6th, but also believes that the Justice Department and the FBI are overreaching in their actions against the former president, his aides, and private citizens. The net of all this back and forth so far is that the ratings of Trump seem to have increased and the favorability of the Department of Justice and the FBI have declined. Now, if you agree with that, I'm curious to know sort of your thinking in that regard. What is it about what the DOJ and the FBI are doing that puts their reputation into the hopper there? Why is that the case? Well, he puts this out this way. Sometimes you have to fight fire with water, not fire. By that I mean when you're up against someone you believe is breaking the rules, strict adherence to the rules in pursuing them is of even greater importance to reestablish the rule of law. That's not what the public sees happening here. Mm-mm. Take the January 6th committee, please. No. Could it have functioned if it had been properly constituted with nearly equal members of both parties and subpoena power for the minority as well as the majority? Of course. It would have been contentious, but all sides would have gotten to present their best arguments. And while Trump, who would have need to be held accountable for his actions on January 6th, Nancy Pelosi would have also had to explain if and why she rejected additional security. But instead, Pelosi pushed her partisan advantage to the limits. Little surprise, then, that the committee looks partisan and has no credibility with most Americans, even if the TV networks give it more time than the Super Bowl. In July's Harvard Caps Harris poll, run after the committee's 8 televised hearings, 55% of respondents, included 60% of independent voters, thought the committee was conducting its business in an unfair way. So your perception is right there with the majority of people in this country. It's not that nobody should be held to account and we shouldn't investigate. It's you don't want to play cards with a stacked deck. It's really not that hard to understand, but you really don't want to play cards with a deck that is not fair, that is not accurate, that is none of those things. And unfortunately, we have people who are basically dealing from the bottom of the deck. That's the problem. Hmm? This is not difficult. This is not a hard thing to try to figure out here, folks. Let's grab some calls. Let me talk to Stan next up. Stan, how are you? Welcome to the program.
How are you doing today,
Chris? I'm doing great, thanks.
I've listened to all these people talk about how disdain for media coverage of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually covering right now in the book I'm writing about the effect of the economy on all various regulatory agencies.
Yes.
And I remember George Carlin, early in his career, did a spiel on the seven words that you can't say on the air. And then later on in his life, he did another spiel about the new seven words that you can't say on the air.
Yes, I remember that.
And,
yep.
That, right. And then they also took the Wild Wild West, which I watched as a kid, off of the air in 1969 because it had too much sex and violence.
No kidding.
That's what it went out there for. I was a kid. I remember when it went off. And I didn't know it at the time, but I learned it while I was doing this book, and I thought, you've got to be kidding. I always wondered why that went off the air. So here's my question. With smartphones, tablets, watches, friends, text messages, YouTube videos, Facebook Live, is there any reason now for the FCC to ever exist? And was there ever a reason for it to exist in a free constitutional republic? But basically, what I'm getting at is, what's wrong with the market dictating?
Now you have to understand that the FCC comes into being, 70 years ago. So
yes.
It wasn't a free market, fair market kind of a thing, that you had regulation that was going to be a component of that. So you have to say, should we change the FCC now? But that's a whole other fight. See, the thing is, as much as people talk about like over the air broadcast and outlets like that, there's a ton of stuff streaming now. I mean, there's a ton of it. Okay. And those guys are able to pretty much get away with anything. And that's the tricky part of all this. I think it's important to always look forward and say, okay, what can we do better moving forward? I think people made decisions in the past that made sense to them or to their parties back then, but it's a challenge. All right, we got another great hour straight ahead. I'll be streaming out live over on my Facebook page and on my Twitter page. Certainly want to invite you to be a part of the discussion. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. 704-570-1110 is the phone number to be a part of the conversation on this Hurricane Ian Friday. Yesterday was a Hurricane Ian Thursday. Before that was a Hurricane Ian Wednesday. And then it was a whole bunch of other stuff going on out there. It is incredible. It's great to be here with you. And certainly I want to encourage everybody in the sound of my voice to drive safely. It is raining. It is windy. You can see it if you're looking at us over at the Facebook page or over at the Twitter feed. You can check it out over at the Brett Witterbull Show Twitter and Facebook feed. One of the things that I think is hugely important is this weirdness that we've got happening with things like, say, the border. The border is a huge issue. The border is absolutely in complete disarray and complete. It's a complete mess right now because you have politicians that have decided that they want to teach the American people a lesson one way or another. And I do believe that there are people who are desperate to create an impression that we need to do the biggest amnesty deal in the history of amnesty deals. And when you look at what it is they're offering, you hear the answer constantly coming from people like Nancy Pelosi. And we've got a couple of clips from Speaker Nancy Pelosi just from today that I think are absolutely fascinating. She believes, by the way, that the border is secure. She believes the border is secure. She believes Joe Biden is committed to a secure border. All that sort of stuff. I mean, she's 100% on board with what it is that's happening right now. So let me give you a couple of examples of this. This is cut number 38, and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi says we got to have a lot more migrants coming into the country because we need our crops picked. Listen to this.
The fact is that. We have a responsibility to secure our border. We also have a responsibility to recognize the importance of newcomers to our nation. Right now, the best thing that we can do for our economy is to have comprehensive immigration reform. We have a shortage of workers in our country, and you see even in Florida, some of the farmers and the growers saying, why are you shipping these immigrants up north? We need them to pick the crops down here. But that doesn't mean that we don't recognize our moral responsibility as well. When the president, the former, well...
What? Huh?
Occasional occupant of the White House.
I have no idea. She just, like, trails off. The occasional occupant of the White House? Who was that? Is she trying to say the former guy, the way Biden says the former guy all the time? I think that's what she's trying to say. But here's the thing. We need people to come and pick our crops. We need crop pickers. That's what we need. So then why don't you hire some? You own a vineyard in California. Why don't you say, let's put up an ad and invite people to come in legally to be permitted to pick crops, and then they will repatriate themselves back to their home countries. But this is not about picking crops. You have people coming in from 168 countries around the world. They are not coming in from North Korea to pick crops. Or from India to pick crops. They're not. This is nonsense. And so then Bill Malugin, who's a really great reporter over at Fox, you know, he's been doing all this coverage down at Eagle Pass and all those different places. And Bill Malugin is like, hey, is the border secure, Madam Speaker? Well, what's going on with the border? Tell me your border take here, Madam Speaker.
Madam Speaker, thank you. Yesterday, Kevin McCarthy told us he essentially feels that you are holding House Democrats hostage from speaking out about the border crisis because of the way you whip on the House floor. How would you respond to that? And do you believe the border is secure?
Well, I believe that we have to have a secure border, and I think that we are trying to address, the president has a plan to address that.
We have to have a secure border, and the president is trying to address that. He is doing no such thing. He has not put forth a bill to give amnesty to anybody. What he's trying to do is, he's trying to do the cranky old man with the cigarettes trick. Do you know what the cranky old man with the cigarettes is? So the old man catches his grandson. Or great-grandson, smoking Winston's behind the garage. Why the kid chooses Winston's, I have no idea. But nevertheless, he catches him smoking cigarettes behind the garage. He's got smoking a cigarette, so what does he say? You're going to smoke the whole pack, and I'm going to make you so sick by smoking these cigarettes that you're going to never want to smoke cigarettes again. Okay, so he makes you stand there and smoke and smoke and smoke. What Joe Biden is doing is exactly the same thing, because you got to understand his mission in America is to punish Y-O-U spells you. He wants to punish you because you are racist and homophobic and xenophobic and basket of deplorables and ultra mega and 74 million of you and all this kind of stuff, okay? So his answer is, well, you wouldn't do the amnesty that Barack Obama supported with me back in 2012, so we're going to give you wide open borders and you'll really see what it's like when you don't play ball with Joe Biden. That's what he's doing. He's punishing the American people. You have to understand that there's two orientations in politics. There are two orientations in politics. These are the two orientations. Number one, to expand liberty and freedom. Number two, to punish the voters. They won the House, they won the Senate, they won the presidency, and it was still not enough. They want to punish you for what you have done. And it's nothing that you specifically have done in this week, in this month, in this year. They hate you going back to 2008. They hate you going back to 98 and the impeachment of Bill Clinton. They hate you going back to 1980 and Ronald Wilson Reagan. They hate you back to 72 because you may have supported Nixon or your grandfather may have supported Nixon. They hate you for all those reasons. And they're going to make you pay. What price are you willing to pay to get the border secured? I've got an ad you've got to hear straight ahead. It's incredible. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. So I'm wearing a very special shirt today. It's a hurricane shirt that I'm wearing. It's actually a what is it?
The scorpions
are on. No, the scorpions are on here. They're on here. If you're watching on the StreamYard, it's a shirt that was sent to me by my aunt, and it's great. It's got like a Twisted Sister in the dead center. I got Alice Cooper on the back end over here. I got every kind of metal band, Great White, Zeppelin. It's all over the shirt, and I've decided I'm making this the official hurricane shirt for hurricane coverage here at WBT on a Friday. So if there's a hurricane on a Friday, I'll have the shirt on, and so people are digging my shirt. They're telling me I'm rocking some great bands. Abraham Ruiz says, greetings. We love you here in Dallas, Texas. Cool shirt. They got good taste. Obviously, probably a Cowboys fan as well. I mean, that's how this thing works. We got people who have been patiently queuing up on the phones, and let's take some of these calls because we want to talk to folks. Tim, you're up first. Hello, Tim. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brett. I've been thinking a lot today about this border issue, and I think I've come up with a solution.
Okay.
If they're going to continue to do what they're doing, let's make a kind of like a swap. How about if we take all of our prisoners in these prisons around the country, or around the country, yes, and we take them to the border, mm-hmm. and we dump them off and say, there you go. They got great beaches in Venezuela. They got drugs over there that you can just go help yourself with. And if you want to take care of them, take care of them. How far do you think that would go?
I don't think anybody would go. I mean, I think you'd take them to like the Mexican border and they would just turn back around and come back into the States and go about their lives. I don't think people, and it's important to understand, we have people from 160 plus countries coming into the country. So, We have a genuine mess on our hands here.
We got a big mess at the top, I can tell you that much.
Well, we do. We do, and that's the important point. We do have a huge mess at the top of the food chain here. But here's the thing. You have an election coming up here. I have spoken to people who believe that Republicans may try to impeach President Biden over the border issue. I advise against that. I would impeach Alejandro Mayorkas and eject him from federal office. I'd throw him out of the position of the DHS secretary because he's going around saying that the border is secure. And the fact of the matter is that's perjury. You get him, you bring him in, you put him under oath and you go, is the border secure? And you make him answer that question. And when he lies about it, you've got the predicate to impeach him and remove him from office for committing perjury.
Absolutely. Nice shirt, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate you being out there. See, people like the hurricane shirt. Rock you like a hurricane. Well, Scorpions reference there. See what we did there. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brett.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I think what's going to happen is all these people they let across the border, they're going to make them all citizens, mm-hmm. and they could vote for Joe Biden.
Well, you'd have to have... I can foresee a situation where if they were going to try to ram a bill through, they would do it in the period after the election and before the new House and Senate takes over. And you could have Chuck Schumer come in and break the filibuster and say, everybody who's been moved into this country, we're going to go ahead and give you guys a citizenship. It's going to have to pass on a party line vote. I believe Manchin would vote for it. Sinema, maybe, maybe not. I do believe there's probably a couple of Republicans in the pile who would play ball with the Democrats in that regard, telling us that the border is broken and has to be fixed. So there is a danger window there between the election and the seating of the new House and Senate. And I think that's a spot where we are vulnerable. I would introduce legislation if I were in the Senate that says anybody who came in between, and you give two dates, right? You say 2008 and 2022 and came in without authorization or an asylum claim, they are statutorily prohibited from obtaining citizenship as an American citizen at that point because you have to stop the flow. Great stuff, man. Appreciate you being out there. Let me go to Ralph. Ralph has been patiently holding on. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
Hey, and you could verify this. Rush Limbaugh said we must defeat their ideology. We got to defeat them at the ballot box.
Yes.
But in the end and everything, we're letting about 3 or 4% of the people dictate policy that ran it down our throat. And Italy just elected a prime minister. I don't know her name.
Maloney.
But she ran on family, God, and liberty and freedom.
Yes.
And we got, you know, these rhinos that are up there. Tom Tillis, I live up around the lake, and there's a bunch of us that voted Pat McCreary out because of this toll road up here that, you know, they rammed down your throat. And so, you know, we're sick of it, man. If that doesn't help, we got to lay hands on them, brother. And I mean lay hands on them.
Well, I don't think that that's necessarily the answer when you still have access to the ballot box and you can run candidates. Tillis has just got renewed last go around, so he's got at least 4 years left in his term, and that's going to be the challenge. The trick is going to be probably, I think you'd want to be in the court of electing Ted Budd to take over as for Burr's seat, and then try to have that fight the way you can have that fight. This is the way the system works, and that's what's unfortunate about things. But I don't think anything is going to get satisfied or fixed by going to physical warfare in the streets.
Well, you know, I tell you what, you know, a lot of people didn't like Trump, and they called him the little orange man and everything. But he's the only one that got up there and did something.
Well, he's got his poll numbers bear it out. He's still the most popular politician. He's got a higher approval number than Biden does right now. You know, I mean, that's what we've got going on here. But here's the other thing you have to remember. And nobody wants to talk about Article 5 conventions. Nobody wants to talk about gathering together in your state capitals and putting up amendments to the Constitution that can lock this stuff down. We can just take the power right out of the hands of these scoundrels in Washington, D.C. and return it to the people. That's what the 10th Amendment is for. Just nobody wants to flex that muscle. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. That's the cult. You know, that's the cult. Did you know that? I don't think the cult's on my shirt. Alice Cooper, Poison. I don't see any. Cult on here. We're not part of the cult. See, that's what it is. We are free thinking peeps. Lori Kirk, by the way, is in the house. Just FYI for people who are longtime fans. Let me share this with you. This is an amazing piece that was put out by Roger Kimball, and it's fantastic. Fantastic. And I mean that. The piece that he put out, Joe Biden and the Sovietization of America. What does it mean that he's demonized half the country? I write with the clangorous strains of Joe Biden's speech at Philadelphia's Independence Hall still ringing in my ears. By the time you read this, the attendant tinnitus will doubtless have abated. The effects of the speech, however, will be echoing throughout the land for many months, if not more. Ben Shapiro was, I believe, correct in judging Biden's brief speech the most demagogic, outrageous, and divisive speech ever seen from an American president. In sum, Joe Biden essentially declared all those who oppose him and his agenda enemies of the republic. Shameful. But what has been true of Joe Biden from before his administration began continues to be true. It is not he who was the architect of his performance from the imperial stage set, of which Albert Speer would have been proud, or to his hectoring on Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans who represent the extreme threat. No. No. Joe Biden is not the architect of this policy. He merely is the mouthpiece, the mannequin representing it. And I, as many others have observed, think that this has been true since the beginning of his most incongruous basement campaign. Biden's greatest asset for the forces standing behind him is his pliability. He'll say whatever he is told to say and espouse whatever doctrines his handlers have put before him. Democrats spent 2 or 3 years vocally defending rioters and issuing hysterical calls to defund the police, but this was before they occupied the White House. Now Biden reads from a script and tells us he finds it sickening that concerned citizens are condemning the FBI. There are a number of things to bear in mind about the initiatives that Joe Biden hinted at in his comments about the entire philosophy that motivates Trump supporters. One has to do with arithmetic. 74 million people voted for Trump in 2020. Trump still vastly outpolls any other Republican candidate. What does it mean that Biden and his masters have demonized half the country? And what does that mean in a few short years? We have seen the Democratic rhetoric proceed from describing Republican voters as irredeemable baskets of deplorables to describing them as believers in a semi-fascist form of extremism that threatens the very foundations of the republic. The other thing to contemplate is the statist nature of the forces fueling its white-hot assault. Back in the 1930s, the Germans mounted a campaign of something called Gleichschaltung, a statewide program to bring all aspects of life into alignment with the governing philosophy of the party. The essentially Marxist idea of political correctness aims the same thing: the insinuation of politics into all aspects of life and the utter subordination of the individual to that ideology. In the American context, we have come to a point where those controlling the levers of power, quote, democracy means rule by the Democrats. One corollary to the power must be increasing concentrated power in the hands of the governing elite. In the Soviet Union, the nominally independent republics that constituted that empire were in fact controlled by Moscow. Something similar is happening in the United States. In Federalist 46, James Madison raised the specter of ambitious encroachments under the federal government on the authority of the state governments, but explains that it is unlikely to happen. Why? Because any move by the federal government to overstep its authority would spark a general alarm. Every state would rise up. Plans of resistance would be concerted. One spirit would animate and conduct the whole. Madison entertains what he calls the visionary supposition that the federal government might accumulate sufficient military power to subordinate the states, to put the states under the boot heel of the federal government. That won't happen, he says, because the state governments with the people on their side would be able to repel the danger. Does it make you feel better? Remember, the Soviet Union had elections. Their leaders assured the populace they were on the winning side of history and they were creating a heaven on earth. Marx's vision of society in which one could be a hunter in the morning, a fisherman in the afternoon, and a critic at night, well, it was just around the corner. Meanwhile, their basket of deplorables, anyone harboring bourgeois or counter-revolutionary sentiments, must be ruthlessly purged in order to make way for utopia. The last words were Joe Biden's or his speech writers. Utopia's just around the corner. We just have to get rid of the 74 million Trump supporters who don't understand that democracy means rule by Democrats. The newly appointed 87,000 IRS workers will doubtless be a help for that. Founders were deeply suspicious of political parties because they foresaw the possibility of government mutating into a state party representing not the people, but themselves. That's where we are now. How long before other features of the Soviet system install themselves in this country? This was originally published in the October 2022 edition of The Spectator, and it's by Roger Kimball. That is a huge warning across the generations. So it's important to understand that the only way forward is going to be to bulk up the states and the states' roles in this, because the 10th Amendment is what your last resort really is, to assert that the states have power. Very few of the folks on the left will ever use state power to defend the actual citizens of the state. They'll use it to make sure you don't go out and buy an American flag during the COVID lockdown, Gretch Whitmer. They'll make it so that you have to stay in your homes for another couple of weeks just to flatten the curve, like Gavin Newsom or J.B. Pritzker or the whole lot of them, including every Cuomo under the sun. They do not respect the states as the check on the federal government. They view the states as the appendages of the federal government. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. All right, don't forget, fall is here. It's time for WBT's Talktoberfest 2022. Join us every Thursday night in Talktober for live interactive conversation with the WBT team on our Facebook live feed. We'll talk about the news of the day, the station's century of broadcasting, and answer just about any question you have. Grab a pint of whatever you want and join us at 8 o'clock every Thursday night for Talktoberfest 2022, presented by Kristen Bernard Empower Home Team, Keller Williams South Park. Visit WBT.com for all the details. We are streaming, by the way. I'm streaming out the show here today on Facebook and Twitter. You can go over to the Brett Winterble Show Facebook page, and we are engaged with lots and lots of listeners who are checking in with us. Looking at some of the other crazy stuff that's happening out there in the world today. And you know, look, the reality is there's a lot of crazy stuff that's happening. Like, when you have storms come in, I feel like you have people with the opportunity to not pay close attention to the weird stuff that goes on out there anyways. Like, there is never a shortage of weird stuff. All right. And I have a real issue. I'm going to talk about this coming up when we cross the streams at 5:20. But I'll preview it for you here. Earlier this week, I complained about tinkerers in our lives, the people who come in and tinker. And I used as my example the tinkerers who decided they were going to shoot at an asteroid up in outer space. And I said, once you start shooting at asteroids in outer space, you don't know what comes next. I'm not linking them, but we did shoot at the asteroid and then we got a big hurricane. But I don't think they're connected. All right. It's a reason why I don't throw gardening implements over my fence into my neighbor's yard, because they will come back returned with a little gusto back into my yard when maybe I'm not looking for that. So generally I have identified as a spacist. That is somebody who fears things in space. I don't want to go to space. I don't want to mess with space. It's got its own deal going on out there. Okay. So I don't want to be involved in the space stuff that goes on out there in the science world. That's just my opinion. You guys can be about who you want to be about, how you want to be about it, all you want to be about it. Here's the deal. Yesterday, we talked about piranhas in the lakes. There are piranhas in the lakes here in North Carolina. Now, I'm not going to swim in a lake. I'm done with my lake. Swimming days are over because I don't need piranhas nibbling on my down below. I mean, I don't need that. I don't need piranhas coming in and biting on my toes, biting on my thumbs, any of that stuff. So now I just assume every lake's got piranhas in it. I don't care where it is. I don't care. I'm assuming there's piranhas in the lake. Okay? You guys can, I know you love your gar. You talk about gar and all that. Piranhas are next. Piranhas are like the ISIS of fish. Okay, they're going to come and get you, and you're going to be very sorry. Now, let me proceed in this regard. You have a hurricane that hit Florida. You've seen this damage that's been done in Florida. This hurricane that has now gone up the coast of Florida into Charleston, South Carolina. Now it's heading our way. Do you know what they're finding down in Florida amid the rubble? These were like 13-foot high surges. I mean, houses are getting knocked down. They're finding balls of fire ants in the water, kind of like congealed together on some piece of detritus or a lily pad or who the heck knows what it is. A half chewed on box of crackers, and these fire ants are floating in that water, and now that's going to become a problem. You're trying to walk through knee-deep water to go get your car and get your albums, go find your memorabilia from Rowdy Roddy Piper or whatever you got at your house, and now you got a ball of fire ants. Like, I can't think of anything, maybe piranhas, maybe a ball of piranhas. A ball of fire ants. Fire ants hurt so bad. I got bit one time by fire ants, And I am a member of the Fire Ant Poison of the Month Club. Like, I have it shipped to my house every couple of weeks just because I know at some point I'm going to need to go to war with the fire ants. And that's not tinkering. That's self-defense right there. Okay, I'm not tinkering with fire ants. I'm not going anywhere near the fire ants. But when I cut that grass and I hit a spot of turned up dirt underneath my lawnmower, I know fire ants have declared war on me. And you got to root them out, or as some people say, rut them out. I mean, you got to get rid of them. You got to get rid of these things because they will make your life a living hell. Do you remember the Popeye cartoon when the fly was flying around the house? And the guy took out the shotgun and shot the house up to try to kill the fly. I'm nearly at that point. I mean, I'm nearly at that point right there. I don't like tinkering, but what I really don't like is piranhas in my lakes, and I don't like balls of fire ants. Fire ant balls is crazy. I don't know what purpose the fire ants serve in our culture, in our community, but I saw a study last week. They predict, you ready for this, TJ? Don't even, you're going to get so upset when I give you this number. Do you know how many ants they think are on planet Earth?
Oh.
20 quadrillion.
No.
20 quadrillion ants on our planet. No. Send them out to space. Shoot the fire ants right at the asteroids. And let them, because what'll happen, the radiation will get them, they'll grow to be gigantic ants, and they'll come back to Earth looking for what they call payback in the hood. I mean, that's it. I mean, this is an incredibly dangerous thing. I don't understand. Whoever brought the fire ants in, that's tinkerage. Whoever brought the piranhas into the rivers and the streams and the lakes, that's tinkerage. And then you're shooting at the asteroids. Can we just leave everybody alone? Just leave everybody alone. I just want to live in peace in my Barca lounger on my front yard. Okay? I just want to sit out there on a Saturday night watching my neighbor's giant screen TV in the garage where they watch college football on Saturday night, and I just want to sit on my lawn in my recliner watching their TV. That's all I want to do. Occasionally I'll go up and stand on the porch and look through the window at the TV just to check the score, you know, what have you. But that's all I want. I'm a man of peace. I'm a man of peace. I really am. I just want to be left alone. And I think here's what I want. I want to make Earth great again. I want a mega. I don't want a MAGA. I want a mega. I want to make Earth great again. We can make Earth great again if we stop fooling around with the stuff in space and stop fooling around with the piranhas in the lakes. Is that hard? Is that difficult? Ah, okay, I see what you did there, TJ. You're playing Ants Marching at me here? Is that what it is? Right, going up over my foot, on my leg? Here I am trying to dump out my lawn clippings into the compostable paper bag, and now they're all over my hands. No good. Dave Matthews. He's a tinkerer. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110 is our phone number. It is great to be here with each and every one of you. So, what is your key takeaway off of this hurricane? And it's not a throwaway question for you, because whenever I see these hurricanes come up like this, I try to think about the ways we can innovate in the wake of what's happening here with these hurricanes, okay? For example, I don't understand why we don't just take all the power lines and bury them underground. You know, I grew up out in the West. We didn't have as many telephone poles, and I'm just using that as a generic sort of term, but, you know, power poles that are strung across everywhere. It was a relatively new area where I was raised, and all the lines, everything, gas lines, electric lines, water lines, everything was underground. And it is such a better way to do your business. And I understand it's challenging in a place that's old and also built up and that sort of stuff. But I believe there ought to be like a national referendum to put power lines underground so that when you have these horrible disasters like hurricanes, tornadoes, blizzards, what have you, at least you know those lines are not going to be hanging with ice or flipping and flopping in the wind and snapping and all that sort of stuff. I think if we're going to do infrastructure, we should get our minds off of like roads and bridges. We should do infrastructure that's actually stuff that's going to be worthwhile to do. I'll give you another example. Out west, you know, they're plagued in many communities with these massive wildfires. And there's a chemical called Fozcheck. It's the pink stuff you'll see air tankers dropping when they're flying over fires to try to stop fires from spreading. It's a fairly controversial product because the New York Times and the elites in Washington and New York don't like Fozcheck getting dropped everywhere. But that's because nothing catches on fire except, little buildings and high rises there in the big cities. But out west, you know, you need to put down fire lines to kind of control the messes that you have. What I don't understand is why it is we don't have Fozcheck available in communities that can then be pumped out to save communities. And that would seem to make sense to me. But, you know, again, I'm not a politician that gets on their knees and bows before the green weenies. That's what it comes down to. We should be innovating constantly. How did you get roads built in Charlotte 150 years ago? Well, you went and you built them. You know, I'm looking at these traffic lights that we have, and they're similar in pretty much every community I've ever been. Big yellow steel traffic lights that are hanging off of a stanchion and bouncing up and down when the wind blows and it starts to go left and it starts to go right and front and back and all of that. You can't tell me that we can't make a lighter grade of traffic lights that are affixed or attached more permanently to those stanchions where you can hang them and they're not going to come crashing down. And if they do come crashing down, they don't weigh 300 pounds when they hit the pavement or hit a car. I mean, we should be innovating. We should, every time we have a disaster like we've got that just happened here, we ought to have a national commission that looks at the stuff that worked and looks at the stuff that didn't work. And we should try to improve upon things. But see, that's not what government does. Government is a checkbook and a nuclear arsenal. They will write you checks and they will send you weapons, or they will send weapons at you. And they're an FBI that, you know, wants to team up with the 87,000 IRS agents and make your life miserable. But I mean, that's the way business is operating in our world today. We should learn from every negative experience and pull the threads out of the negative experience that were positive and focus on deploying more of that. But with politicians, you're not about solving a problem. With politicians, you're about something very specific. You're about recriminations and blaming. But recriminations and blaming doesn't save anybody. At the end of all of this, you and I hate to sound cliche, but at the end of all of these storms that we've got happening in different places, at the end of this story, we will be told the system failed. And I swear, if I see one more politician or someone in authority talk about the failure of the system, I think uttering the phrase "the system failed" without evidence that the system actually failed should result in permanent removal and banning from public life. There needs to be a political equivalent for the death penalty that prevents people from ever running for office again when they make such monumental mistakes. 2008, and the idea that we could do no income, no job, loans, and you could just state your income and borrow as much money as you want. 9/11 with what you had with the Clinton administration prohibiting the FBI from talking to the CIA so that they couldn't find out what was going on with bin Laden because Bill and Hillary and Al Gore were all so worried that we were going to find out about the Chinese money that was flowing in to get them reelected in 96. The pullout in Afghanistan. These are things that need to be looked at in very serious manner. And if it turns out that you can identify the person that had the biggest hand or had a hand in the failure in front of you, that person needs to be ejected from public life and maybe have their pension pulled. There has to be a cost for failing the American people. There has to be a cost, and it's got to be something different than some loudmouth lawyer on TV yakking at you about, hey, come get a piece of the settlement. It's got to be, this is going to carry with it real weight, and you're going to be stigmatized and shunned, and you're going to have to disappear from the public arena. Think Andy Cuomo. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brent Winterbull Show. You know, every day at 8:35 and then at 5:20, we cross the streams, AM and PM, Brent Winterbull, Bo Thompson, sometimes Beth Troutman, sometimes all three of us. Well, in the morning, it's usually all three of us. Bo Thompson joins us now. Hello, Bo. How are you?
I am driving down Randolph Road right now.
Yes, sir.
I am telling you, people need to slow down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Are you okay? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had to go get a pizza at the corner.
Oh,
so,
I gotcha.
Priorities, right? But I also started to stay at home because I knew I was going to talk to you, and then I thought, you know what? I'm gonna multitask here. I'm gonna go get dinner and also be a roving reporter for you at the same time.
This is awesome.
So it's coming down, man. I was sitting at the stoplight here a minute ago in the Cotswold area, and it's blowing sideways. And I just saw a bunch of people roll through the intersection and hit, you know, water spots.
Ooh.
And you got to be careful. Those things come on you quick. I go to several places whenever. I mean, people have heard me, I think, in the morning talk about issues that I've had with my homes in the past where I had flooding problems.
Yeah, so yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So this is nothing new to me, but I kind of have four or five areas I go around town when there's a threat of flooding to sort of gauge how high it's getting or if it's going to become a problem.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you, one of the creeks I always go to is McMullen Creek along Randolph Road. Mm-hmm. And it's not above the bank yet, but it's just right about where it's sort of, you know, it's right there about to crest. So nothing yet, but if that's any indication with some of the other creeks and, you know, tributaries around town, if it keeps on coming down like it's coming right now, which is steady and hard and pretty decent wind going, then we may have an interesting evening upon us. So everybody needs to be careful out there.
Yeah, without a doubt. Speed is the one thing that you can absolutely control when you can't control Mother Nature. And that's a hugely important thing, Bo Thompson, because, you know, when you look at you can be doing everything right and still get nuked, you know, by somebody else because they're not paying attention or they're driving too fast or any of that sort of stuff. Are you seeing pedestrians out walking around or are people mostly off the streets?
No, not right
now. Yeah, that's good.
Not right now. It is coming down too hard to be out in the elements right now. I mean, there are plenty of cars out here. And when I went up to the corner to grab my pizza, there was a line of people inside at Wolfman Pizza, a great Cotswold location.
There you go.
And, you know, people were walking around under where there's shelter and people at the grocery store, but it's coming down too hard right now you'd be miserable if you're walking around in it right now. You're trying to, like, I know some people like to run in the rain, but this is
too
much.
Yeah, it's too much. Your big takeaway as you look at this whole week that we watched, right, with this thing starting, I mean, really, it started in Cuba, it hit Puerto Rico, it hit Cuba, and then into Florida, and then now up another hit in, of course, the Charleston area of South Carolina. Do you think we're going to, Are we going to change the way we do business? And I say that with more of an eye towards Southwest Florida, where it appears to me that they built up a lot of stuff that maybe might have been a risky place to build, and wondering if people will go back and rebuild where it was they were. But what about this, Bo? I mean, do you think we'll take long-term lessons off of this, or will we just think about it as another storm?
I feel like with these hurricanes, a lot of people, and it's interesting you ask this, because we opened up the lines one day this week before, you know, when we knew this was coming, but it was still a few days away, and mm-hmm. I was asking for people, and Beth was, about, you know, stories of riding out hurricanes. And, you know, there are obviously different categories of these, and there are a lot of people on the coast that have ridden out these things and, you know, haven't seen the big one.
Right.
And so until you see the big one, which obviously, if you're living in Fort Myers right now, you just saw the big one.
Right.
Or if you were in New Orleans when Katrina mm-hmm. came through, you saw the big one. But then there are people in various communities who've seen somewhat large hurricanes, but not the big one. I think when the big one comes through and basically you have, 90% of Fort Myers Beach,
mm-hmm.
That stretch there where it first came on shore, you know, nearly 90% of it is leveled from the beach town there on the front line of Fort Myers, then, you know, I think that's behavior changing. But, you know, then there are a lot of people who have, you'll get tons of people, and we got the calls, and you know what I'm talking about, who said, well, you know, the media made it a big deal, and they said it was coming, and then it didn't hit me.
Ugh.
Or it came, we said this morning, it was the latest intel was that it was going to hit, North Myrtle Beach
right.
area of the
right.
Grand Strand. Now, it came ashore a little bit further south in Georgetown in Pawleys Island, but the Cherry Grove Pier is missing the middle,
right?
Which is North Myrtle Beach, and then Pawleys Island got their pier got smacked too. And I was watching footage earlier of the Cherry Grove Pier. That's where I used to go to spring break for the beach with my in high school. So you're watching these structures. I mean, I think, like I said, I think it depends what the long term reaction is. If you get hit by the big one, then I think it will make you maybe even move, but it'll make local government make some changes. But, you know, this is such a big country that there are a lot of places that don't get the big one. They get, you know, small ones that aren't catastrophic, but they cause headaches.
You know, and that's the thing, because we get so conditioned to playing around water. You know, you go to a lake, go to a river, you go to the ocean, and you become comfortable with bodies of water, but the ocean is just such a different animal, and it's easy to take it for granted, and then you will experience something, whatever that something is. You get caught in a riptide, you're out surfing, you get dumped really hard, and you realize that you are a ridiculously small organism in a giant, potentially deadly body of water.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here, I pulled over in the parking lot here down the road, and I'm just watching how hard this rain is coming down. And this is the same storm that hit Cuba,
yep.
then came ashore in Fort Myers, and then came ashore
yeah.
in South Carolina. I mean, three different times.
Yep.
This storm is still churning along. And one last thing, I'll leave you with this.
Yes.
I'm sitting in the line at the pizza place. This sort of ties it all together from our conversations earlier in the week, and I heard you talking about it earlier with, you know, the media. I'm sitting there in line. There's probably a 4 to 5 year old kid in front of me, and her mom's getting a pizza. And I look down, and she has her phone. And guess what was on her phone? A kindergartner was watching the video of Jim Cantore.
There you go. That's it.
So,
that's it. Right there. Unbelievable.
There's a snapshot of life in 2022, right?
100%.
I'm gonna talk with our program director and Mark Garrison, and we're going to make a decision a little bit later on. There's a possibility that if the weather warrants tonight, then I may come on tomorrow morning with some special coverage if need be. It just depends on, you know, what this does to our area tonight and how much cleanup we're doing in the morning. Hard to know yet, but if need be, I'll be on the radio tomorrow morning, and providing the coverage that WBT has been known for so many years, dating back to Hugo and before. So, we don't know yet, but we're on standby if need be.
Good to know. Bo Thompson, get home safe, and we'll be picking up with you tomorrow, perhaps. And looking forward to hearing you all next week, my friend.
Have a great weekend.
You got it. That's Bo Thompson. I'm Brett Witterbull. News Talk 1110 993 WBT, Brett Winterville Show. You know, a week ago we were in D.C. at the Hold Their Feet to the Fire thing, and then now we get a hurricane, and now we're here, and it's amazing how fast time goes. The shows grow up so fast, don't they? 704-570-1110. Let me talk to Keith, who has been patiently holding on. Hello, Keith. What's on your mind, sir?
How you doing, Brett?
I'm doing well.
You were talking about the piece by Ben Shapiro and parallel to what happened in Nazi Germany during World War II or before World War II.
Right.
There's a very close parallel to what's going on in this country and what happened in the early 30s in Germany. Hitler was elected Chancellor of Germany in, like, January of 33.
Mm-hmm.
There were multiple parties that were in the chancellery, their version of Congress. There was communists, national socialists, what we call Nazis now. There were republics, there were Democrats. The Nazis won a plurality, and just like Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, they put Hitler in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
In February of 33, a guy named Marinus Vanderlust was accused of setting the chancellery building, the Reichstag, on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And their proof was that the Gestapo got a confession out of him. He was a Dutch communist.
Mm-hmm.
From that point, he managed to convince Hindenburg, who was the president of Germany, that they needed to start prosecuting members of the Communist Party a little bit at a time, and weakened that party and the chancellery over and over again through a show trial.
Right.
Read here, January 6th committee. And Hindenburg died. There was no opposition. Hitler became president and chancellor, and from there he became the sole dictator of Germany.
Yes.
That's a complete parallel to these January 4th things. The Nazis picked out which communist members could be on the investigative hearing on the burning of the Reichstag, and to this day, people believe that the Nazis are the one who actually set it on fire.
Here's the thing, though. I don't agree with the parallel being in the same place at the same time today, because we are we're going to have elections here in 4 weeks, 5 weeks. We're going to have an ability to select new representatives. The January 6th committee has been greatly diminished by its own actions, frankly. It doesn't have the legitimacy that it tried to claim up front. And I think most people, even people who voted for Biden and hated Donald Trump, by and large, I think people have moved beyond the January 6th event. Americans have a very good ability to move on from things as a unit. There's going to be people who are going to continue to talk about things that have happened in the past, but the country moves on pretty quickly. We get on with our lives pretty fast, and so I don't view a parallel threat to the Constitutional Republic of the United States that we would have seen in Germany in the inner scene period between World War I and World War II.
But the parallel does go back to the speech Biden made about
that was a clown speech, man, and nobody takes that speech seriously. Nobody takes
that
speech.
Do I know people that do?
Well, then they're demented. that's their problem, right? But the average person, Keith and Brett, walking down the street, I don't take what Biden said. I don't take anything Biden says seriously. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to talk about legitimacy, I wouldn't say Biden's illegitimate. You know why? I want him to own every single policy that he has put into place. And by saying, well, he's not really the president, or he wasn't really elected, or he got sworn in.
No.
He got sworn in.
I'm not saying he wasn't elected.
Hitler engineered a coup, right? Joe Biden did not engineer a coup. He's just he's kind of like Hindenburg. You know, I mean, somebody's pulling his strings. I mean, that's what it is. Here's the other thing. And I want to be honest with you, Keith, because you're a good caller. I am so over Hitlerian comparisons for stuff. I remember when people said Cheney was Hitler. when people said Bush was Hitler, Reagan was Hitler, Nixon was Hitler. Hitler was Hitler in a unique time, in a unique place. He was a crooked, corrupt socialist, as we have seen the damage done for generations at the hands of crooked, corrupt, filthy socialists. And that's all he was. I mean, it's the,
the socialist part is the hard part. The same people put credence in the January 6th hearing that I know right now. And I'm not talking about morons. These are educated people.
Yeah.
Are the same ones who were calling Trump a fascist.
Well, that's fine.
But if you ask them, please define fascism.
Doesn't matter.
They can't.
It doesn't matter. So let them use words that they don't know what it means. They're making the point about their lack of intellectual rigor when they use words that don't. You know what? When I hear people say Trump was Hitler, Obama was Hitler, whatever, you know, people throw Hitler around. You know what I see? I see a set of those wind-up teeth on a table going cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. And eventually they run out of gas. I don't take them seriously. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. I mean, this is... You very rarely hear me mention Hitler on the show. It's not... I think it's a boring topic to try to compare American politicians to Hitler. I'm not saying Keith did it at all. It was... I raised that as part of a piece written by Mr. Kimball over in The Spectator, so it's a fair game issue to come up with. But people that sit around talking about Hitler, admiring Hitler, thinking everybody's Hitler, it's really exhausting. You need to get out and have more roughage. You need more fiber in your diet. You're getting locked down. It is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. That song means one thing. Charlotte at 6 is just around the corner, and Mark Garrison is going to give us a little preview of what to expect tonight.
Indeed, we'll open the show live, figure out what's going on outside. It's raining and windy. We're tracking what's left of Ian, and we'll tell you what you're going to go through tonight.
Alrighty.
In fact, if you're worried about a tree falling on your home, we even have some good advice on what to do about that.
Burn them? No.
A little late for that.
I got you, buddy.
Yeah, we'll also have some updates from South Carolina. A lot happening there. A lot of flooding from Charleston to Myrtle Beach. Florida, the misery there is just, well, Frank, hard to describe.
Yeah.
Bodies found today floating in the water. We'll go live there and find out about search and rescue.
And it's going to get hot again.
Yeah. Mm. And nothing will stop the Friday news quiz, not even what's left of a hurricane.
Okay.
So at 6:35, Boomer and producer George will try to beat Anna.
Oh, boy.
Good luck with that.
Are these all like barometric pressure questions and millibars and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, that would have been a good one. I hadn't thought about that.
Is 989 good or is 921 good?
Anna probably thinks a millibar is just a small place to get a drink in South Carolina, but yeah, we'll let her.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that. All right. Mark Garrison, this is mandatory. Now I'm gonna depart from here and attempt to get home.
Okay, good luck. Hey, you should call in if you have trouble.
I will.
we'll send somebody to pick you
it'll
up.
Be, yeah. It'll be
a listener
it'll,
to get
it'll
you.
It'll be a wrecker, and then I'll call you. I'll be like, I'm waiting out here. No, it's I plan on taking sidewalks all the way home.
And, oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it'll be all good. We'll be okay.
All right,
my friend.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, you got it. Charlotte at 6, mandatory listening. Hey, you know that I'm going to Italy with my beloved wife, Sherry, and we're going to head on over there in June. And I want you to come with us because we're going to see incredible things. It's a 10-day trip. We're going to fly out overnight. We're going to land in Rome. We're going to see everything. We're going to experience amazing food. And I know you're saying, but wait, Brett, there's a big storm outside, man. What are you telling us about this trip? Because it's going to be sunny and beautiful. It's going to be phenomenal. And my good friends over at Cruise and Tour did something so cool. They've set up a special for you. And I really want to encourage you to do this because there's only a few slots where you're eligible for this. We're going to be living La Dolce Vita next June. I've got a great offer for you. The next 7 couples who sign up get $500 per couple off their trip. That's right. The next 7 lucky couples get $500 off the trip. If you've been thinking about signing up, now's your chance. Talk about it over the weekend. Take your mind off the hurricane, the tropical storm, all that sort of stuff. Maybe pour a little glass of vino and talk about, hey, you know, we could go to Italy and have a great time with Brett. You can absolutely do that. If you've always wanted to see Italy, if you've wanted to live the sweet life, now's your chance. $500 off per couple for the next 7 couples that sign up. Megan and Deanna are standing by. Call them. 800-383-3131, 800-383-3131. That's 800-383-3131, or visit cruise-tour.com, cruise-tour.com. So in the what we learned most about things this week, I think one of the things that I've learned the most is how resilient our country continues to be, despite the arguments over politics and concerns about inflation and the things that are challenging. I've seen a lot of evidence of people taking care of each other, of people keeping an eye out for each other, of people genuinely concerned for the well-being of their fellow citizens and non-citizens. You know, it's one of the things we talk about as Americans is our willingness to give and our generosity. And it's something that gets dismissed far too often. When you have a purely political and partisan sort of an environment, you forget the good that can be done with everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a socialist or any of that sort of stuff. What matters is that you are able to help. I've seen advertisements for the American Red Cross. I've seen advertisements for the Rubicon Group. I've seen different organizations that are working to try to shelter people and to protect people both during the storms and after the storms. And that is what is so incredible about the United States of America. We have a strong ethos in our lives that focuses on the well-being of people, strangers. That is a hugely important thing to have. You see, because we came from so many different backgrounds and so from so many different identities, we're not as tribal as many other countries are. When you hear about countries breaking down into a civil war, it's typically because there are groupings or tribes of people that have an ancient hatred for each other. But because this is the melting pot, or this is the place where people have chosen to come and to live their lives, we have great opportunity to do good. And it's why you should mostly tune out the naysayers who want to tell you that it's all over, we're all going to die, it's terrible, it's rotten, it's awful. Because what they're lacking in that prescription is faith in the future and faith in tomorrow to come. We don't know the time or the manner or the place where all this comes to an end. But as long as you've got breath inside of you and the ability to do good deeds, and not mega good deeds, we go build 15 houses. You just do good deeds on the individual level. That person that you're helping, you don't know if they're a Republican or a Democrat, a liberal or a conservative, a Trump voter or a Biden voter. You just know that you're trying to ease people's discomfort. And I think if we all resolve to keep that spirit up, sort of in the same vein that we typically express at Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or any of the holidays that we celebrate during that end of the year holiday season, I think it's important to think about that, because the opportunities before us to do good are endless, despite our own limitations set upon ourselves by us. And that's an important thing to do. If you're sitting in a home and you're dry, if you're sitting in your home and you're warm, if you're sitting in your home and you've got loved ones and pets around you, you're way ahead of the crowd. Thank you to George and TJ, Boomer and Anna, Mark Garrison, Bo Thompson, and each and every one of you. Be safe out there. I am Brett Witterbull. Charlotte at 6 is next. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Make you feel better. The pigs have won tonight. They can all sleep soundly, and everything is alright.
A little bit of stinging rain and big old fat rain. Rain that flew in sideways, and sometimes rain even seemed to come straight up from underneath.